I'm Matt Costello of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association in Fresno, California, along with Pastor Gary Friel of the Grace Bible Church of Fresno. And once again, we really do appreciate your willingness to tune in today as we consider questions and issues that we face. Questions and issues we face in the world, in the church, and in our lives each day. One of the things that is becoming very prevalent today that we want to address in this podcast in particular, in fact, some of you have even written or phoned or emailed and asked if maybe we can address this particular issue, and that is the issue of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ as being the only way to any kind of relationship with God the Father. The exclusivity of the gospel really is maybe another way we can put it. Pastor Gary, I know in your years of ministry, you have heard many times, as I have, from people who don't know Christ as Savior, and sadly now even some who profess that they do, that there are many paths or there are many ways to heaven, to a relationship with God, and we all need to find our own path. We all need to do what we can to, work toward that path. And they're all equal. They're all valid. What do you find that to be a pervasive belief or philosophy today?
It's not just pervasive. It's just intensely growing. And the really disturbing thing was that you find it's not just in liberal or Roman Catholic or other religious belief systems like Hinduism or Buddhism or things like that. It's really taken hold within evangelical Christianity now.
It has. In fact, we have written little, news and views items and articles and Foundation even about those within professing Christianity who say, well, Jesus Christ is the path of God for Christians, but they always use this phrase, the grace of God is not bound. God's grace trumps Jesus Christ being the only way,
right,
or trumps the exclusivity of the gospel.
Right.
What would you say to that?
That's really a gross misunderstanding of the grace and mercy of God. I remember a few years ago, a very popular book came out called A Wideness in God's Mercy, and a lot of evangelicals were alarmed by it and responded to it, dealing with that aspect of God's mercy and God's grace. And I wanted to ask you, you've put you on the spot here. You've defined, everybody knows what God's grace is, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God, but explain a little bit how you have defined God's mercy.
Yeah, I always go back to when I was a kid. Those of you who have heard or been a part of Grace Bible Church here in Fresno know this. I remember mercy, the definition of mercy, based on my own childhood. I remember getting in trouble at school, and which was nothing new. That was the norm, sad to say, when I was a kid in elementary school. And I remember getting in trouble in school, and at one point the teacher telling me, I'm going to have mercy on you today. And you're going to not be benched during recess. You can go ahead and go out and play and have recess. And that always stuck with me. The teacher is not giving me what I really deserve. And I've always understood mercy to be that, God not giving me what I really do deserve. Grace being the flip side of that coin, God giving us, bestowing upon us what we do not deserve. And so, when we're dealing with the grace of God and the mercy of God, those are real things. And yet, they are never, ever divorced from the person of God who declares very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, this is the very words of Jesus Christ in John 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can have any relationship, no person can have any relationship with the one true God except through Jesus Christ. And I've always understood that if there are individuals saying, well, there's many paths and your Christian path might be just as right as mine, to call Jesus Christ a liar when he says, I am the only way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, no man comes to the Father except through me, for a human being to say, oh no, there's many paths, there's other paths, is to call Jesus a liar, so you immediately must condemn Christianity at that point.
Right.
Is being not a true path, an illegitimate path, because you're calling Jesus himself
right.
a liar because of his exclusive claims.
Right. And the thing that one of the frustrating things to me they do is they'll go to Scripture and they'll try to find justification for what they believe from passages that have absolutely nothing to do with things like salvation,
right?
God's sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. They will find, for example, a lot of illustrations or a lot of examples from the Old Testament scriptures, especially the early chapters of the book of Genesis, and saying, well, there was a wideness in God's mercy and grace there. You know, God did all this. He extended his love to all humanity. The thing they conveniently avoid is, you know, for instance, in the story of Noah, God extends his grace to Noah, but what about all the other people during the flood that he judged as sinful? And I think they avoid those kinds of things, and they avoid scriptures like John 14:6. And something we talked about the other day, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, you know, it's belief in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And there was, other passages, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The exclusivity of the gospel, if I'm saying that right, it is not just profound, but it is crystal clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There's only one way of salvation. There's always been only one way of salvation. You cannot get around it. And that's why I was looking, just to make sure, in 1 Corinthians 15 and in Galatians 1, Paul very clearly calls it the gospel. There is an exclusive gospel. There's not. In fact, he goes on in Galatians 1 and says, there are those who talk about another gospel, but it's not the gospel.
Right. You mentioned Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where it's very clear that Peter and John make known, referring to Jesus Christ, they're talking in verse 10 of Jesus of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead. I mean, they're giving the truth of the gospel of what happened to Jesus, his death and resurrection. And then in verse 12, they say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other path. There's no other name. There's no other way. And the important thing to me about that verse is these individuals are, you know, very shortly removed from the resurrection of Jesus Christ,
right,
and the
right.
ascension of Jesus. And
right.
they understood exactly,
exactly.
this truth.
Yep.
They weren't misrepresenting Jesus. I mean, they believed what Jesus said and declared that.
Right.
And it of course, they lived in a cultural context that embraced much of the same beliefs and philosophies that we do today. I mean, I'm sure within the context of the Eastern world at that time, many people believe that there are many paths and different ways to go.
Right, sure.
And yet they carried on that message of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They understood exactly what Jesus was saying.
Right.
And they declared that to be true very, very soon after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand this. I mean, these were individuals who loved Jesus, walked with Jesus. They were not giving any credence to a belief that, well, there are other paths. The grace of God
right.
allows salvation in other ways, you know, not through Jesus Christ,
right.
you know, just through trying hard or the good in other religions. And we have to understand today that the paths that people try to take to have any kind of relationship with God are diametrically opposed to one another.
Right.
If Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and, you know, Peter and John, these important apostles say there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. If that is the truth, then other ways are wrong.
Right.
And vice versa. If that's wrong, then there must be some other way out there that's right. We can't just come up with some kind of concoction or view or belief on our own based on just how we feel or what we want to think pertaining to eternal life and relationship right. with God. When Jesus says, and I simply go back to John chapter 3 again and talking to Nicodemus, you know, as the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up, right. even so must the Son of Man be lifted right. up. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him,
right.
in him, believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is making it very clear to this Jewish rabbi, I mean, a very
right.
prominent Jewish rabbi.
Right.
It's through faith in me, the one who will be lifted up. You know, of course, the Apostle Paul says later, there's one mediator between God and men, God the right. Father and us, the man, Christ Jesus. And one mediator. I mean, the Bible is crystal clear throughout, like you said, from Genesis to Revelation, that there are not many paths to God.
Right.
I mean, not only are there not many paths, there's so many religions out there that have different gods. Okay, what God are we even right. talking about that right. you're having a path to? We have to understand as Christians and embrace the fact that the world isn't going to like this.
No.
The world's going to hate an exclusive message. We talked about this at church in our Sunday school class from 1 Thessalonians. But the world is going to hate it. It's not going to be popular. But the fact of the matter is there is one way to God the Father. It's only through the person and work of Jesus Christ, particularly faith, total trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ right. for the saving of one's soul. And anyone who embraces the belief that, oh no, there are many paths, or there could be many paths, in my opinion, is clearly negating and saying, well, no, Christianity then can't be a path because the leader, Jesus Christ, is wrong.
Right.
He's lying.
And I think it's, you know, you mentioned your people who say that you're calling Christ himself a liar, and you're really dethroning him and denigrating him by, according to the book of Colossians. I mean, Paul's whole point there was, listen, Christ is superior to anything, to any other way, to any other concept, to any other ideas, to any other beliefs. Jesus Christ is far, far superior. I mean, twice in chapters 1 and 2, he talks about in him dwells all the fullness of, literally, of the Godhead bodily.
Right. What a text.
You know, Colossians 2:9, everything it means to be God is found in Jesus Christ. And that's why he was the adequate person to pay the infinite price that our sin demanded. And he was the only person. There's no other way except faith, and you summed it up great. I love that. Total, complete, absolute reliance upon him, who he is, the God-man, and what he came to do, sacrificially die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Now, I hear this all the time. Well, that's not fair.
Right.
That, you know, what about people who've never heard of Christ? What about people who don't know about him? What do you say to that? I mean, how do you respond? And my response is, that is really an underestimate of the heinousness of human sin, and it greatly undervalues the person, the justice, the holiness, the purity, and the love of God. And let me say, too, you know, we talk about, there are hard things in Scripture to understand. I mean, we admit that. There are difficult passages that we cannot, we probably won't be able to fully grasp this side of heaven. Or maybe we never will in all of eternity. We don't know. But the Bible is crystal clear on the way of salvation. I just want to say that.
Yep.
Just as forthrightly as I possibly can. The Bible is unambiguous about this. Christ is the only way for everybody.
The world hates it. It's exclusive. And yet it is the only message of hope.
That's right.
That exists in the universe.
That's right.
And so we can't discard it, twist it, change it, conform it to the prevailing views of our culture. We must, with the Apostle Paul and with Peter and James and John and, you know, all, we must lovingly declare the truth.
Proclaim it.
Proclaim
right.
it that Absolutely. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, no matter what other ideas other people might come up with.